All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. Glad to see everybody made it in through the snow. I used to love the snow and the cold. Used to. Right, Brother Ramos? You love the snow? So one time you're going to not hear him say lovely. Is when it's cold. Amen. Well, this morning, the message, if you don't need it now, you will. Okay? So the title of the message is, When Trouble Comes. All right? When Trouble Comes. Mark chapter number 5, we'll begin here in verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My daughter, my little daughter, lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now drop down to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And by the way, it's a good little side point here. What your need is no trouble to the master. Just remember that. Amen? Then we get down to verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for the word that you've given, Lord, in these accounts in the Bible, how they're so rich. They have so much to help us. If we would just take the time to look into your word and find the solace and the help and the comfort and the strength that we need. And I pray, Lord, for those who might be really going through a difficult time in their life this morning, I pray that this passage would really comfort and strengthen and give some hope, Lord. And Lord, help us just to remember that you have all the answers and you have a plan in everything that goes on in our lives. I just pray again, Lord, that you would be glorified through this time. And we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. How should we handle trouble? I mean, we know it's going to come. I just gave you the message, titled, When Trouble Comes, right? I didn't say, Here Comes Trouble. I know there's certain people, when you see them, it's like, oh, no, here comes trouble, right? We had a young girl in our church. Her name was Mapenzi. This is over in Zambia. Mapenzi means trouble. And I tell her, now, here comes trouble. Or, you know, man, we always have trouble in church when you show up. But that's not the type of trouble I'm talking about. What should we expect when it comes our way? Several of our church members recently have faced life-changing events, things that kind of have shaken them to the very core, things that have gotten their attention and drawn their desires to the Lord like never before. And perhaps you are facing some big problems today. Maybe that's serious health problems, loss of a loved one, turmoil in your home, maybe financial struggles, whatever it might be. We have a whole series of problems. In fact, some people feel like they're a problem magnet, right? Every time, if something can go wrong, it's going to happen to you. It's like, boom, everything comes and sticks to you. Well, what can we do? How will God work things out? The man in today's reading experienced divine intervention. And at the end of the story, we see great things happen. But it wasn't easy. It didn't come without a price, so to speak. And too often, we read an account like this in the Bible, and we read the few verses, and we say, oh, that's nice. Man had a problem, and everything turned out well in the end. And we just kind of get through and say, oh, that's great. But I think what we need to do is look in these stories a little bit deeper, because there's a lot in here. And by stopping to think about what's there, I think it'll help us to face our own times of difficulties and trials. And hope by the time we're done, and that you'll see that we've got a great God who works in tremendous ways. And if no one else is going to get a blessing out of this message, studying this in this passage, really, it was a huge blessing to me. I've just really loved seeing all that God's got in here for us, and probably a whole lot more that I couldn't figure out. But the first thing we need to see, before all we can talk about the great things, the first thing we see, we need to begin where the story begins. And that's with a great problem. And then all my points are going to be a great something. Okay, so the first one is, it was a great problem. We find it here in verse 22 and 23. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." Now, while we know the story ends well, and people are going to be all amazed at what God has done, it didn't start that way. We all like a happy ending. We all want to see a miracle. We all want to see God intervene in a divine way, but we don't want to go through the trouble and have the problems that are necessary for God to show himself mighty and strong and powerful. And Jairus experienced what none of us ever wish to face. He faced the thought of losing his little girl. And, you know, there have been times where our kids were really sick, and maybe you've had things like that, accidents or sickness or disease or something that it really shook you to the core. You were wondering if your little one was going to make it. And thankfully, we never suffered the loss of one of our children. You know, I go back to Zambia again. I remember one time driving through town, and I saw on the back of a bicycle a tiny little coffin about this big. And I never saw a coffin that small. It was a crude, just wooden box. And I just thought, here, someone just lost their little child. And we've known people who've lost little children. And to think that the grief of the family was going through. And Jairus, his daughter was sick, and she was dying. And there was nothing he could do about it. He was completely helpless. And sometimes it's not until we get into those completely helpless situations will we actually turn to the Lord like we should. Like we should have been doing all along. Now, let's look at a couple things about him. He was the ruler of the synagogue. This reminds us that tragedy, it knocks on everybody's door. It doesn't matter if you've got some power, some prestige, you got some position. Doesn't matter. It's trouble is going to come. Nothing isolates us from trouble. A lot of people like to surround themselves with friends and money, and they try to soften everything and cushion everything and hope that the problems aren't going to come. It will come to all of us at some time. Further, it appears that he was a good man. He had dedicated his life to serve in the synagogue. Obviously, he had a heart for God, because when his daughter had a problem, he knew where to go. He went to Jesus, amen? So he must have had something going for him, and yet he still experienced this heart-wrenching trial. And that reminds me again that bad things happen to good people. We can't sit back and say, well, I thought I was good, and Lord, what are you doing to me? You know, it doesn't matter if we serve God. Our service to God, our faithfulness to God does not exempt us from having problems. Some of the people who served God the most in the scriptures had some of the biggest problems. And yet they also had some of the greatest deliverances and saw God work in the most mighty and amazing ways. We all love to hear the stories about how God did something great. We don't want to go through the problem that needed God to step in, do we? Well, you may be wondering why God has allowed trouble to come into your life. Well, like Jairus' case, God has a plan. He doesn't just do things, and he doesn't just allow things, and we all have to learn to trust him no matter what's going on in our lives. So that was the great problem. Secondly, we see great providence. I like this. Look at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side. Now, where had he been? He had been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He had made a special trip to go over there. And he found a man, we refer to him as the maniac from Gadara, a demon-possessed man. And he casts a demon out, and he changes this man's life. And then it appears that he went over there just for that one person. Because then he turned around, got on the ship, and went back. And when he got back, so this is where we pick it up here in the middle there of verse 21 again, that much people gathered unto him. So he came back, many people came and gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Now, where was Jesus during Jairus' trouble? He was close by, wasn't he? I love that. He had returned from the other side of the sea, and he came just in time. Coincidence? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. God's timing is always right. He's always close by. And all we have to do is draw close to him. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. He's waiting for us to take the first step when we have these times of trouble. And his timing's always right. And praise God that Jesus is always close when we need him most. He's always there. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forgotten you. The problem might be staring you in the face and all you can see is that, but we need to lift our eyes a little bit higher. And when we can see the Lord. And when trouble comes, so does Jesus. I mean, he's there. He shows up. And oh, if you're struggling with heartache today, I'm telling you, Jesus is there. I'm not trying to just give you some feel-good message, but if you need to feel good, then you can feel good based on God's word. Amen? Now, the psalmist testified, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I don't know how many times I've had to quote that verse, and how many times it looked bleak. How many times I thought, there is no hope, this isn't going to work out. And then I remember, and the Holy Spirit reminds me, a very present help in trouble. And I'll go back and say, Lord, I need help right now. I need that very present help right now. I'm in trouble. You said you'd be there. I need it. I didn't feel like he was there. And I pray, and God, I don't know how he does it, but God comes. He gives you that peace. That problem might not go away right away, but you know he's there and you know you're going to get through it. And you've got comfort and you can face that. So we see great providence. God is there. And he just happens to show up. Just happens because he loves us. Then we see the third thing, and we see what that is great prayer. In verse number 23, and so he came, he fell at his feet, and it says, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. You know what great problems require? Great prayer. How do you respond to trouble? You know, if we're honest, we'd have to admit that we don't always immediately respond the right way, do we? Usually there's two ways that people react to trouble when it comes. Either we have a pity party or we have a prayer meeting. And typically we start with the pity party. And then eventually we get around to, that's not working, maybe I'll try the prayer meeting thing. And I think what we need to see is we need to avoid pity parties. If you take a moment with me, and we're going to be back here in Mark chapter 5, so you can keep your finger there, but if you go back with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, I want you to see an account of a man of God. He was a man of faith. I mean, this man, in the previous chapter, had prayed down fire from heaven. This man was a powerful man of God. He walked with God and he was used of God, and God blessed him and honored his life. But here he was, even though he was a powerful man of prayer, in this case, I don't know if he forgot to pray, if he just chose not to pray, or what. You know, sometimes we know we should pray, but we're feeling down. And, you know, we want to have this little pity party for a while. We just want to feel sorry for ourselves for a little while. You know, just don't bother me. Don't bother me with prayer. Don't bother me with the Bible. Don't try to cheer me up right now. I just want to feel bad for myself. Remember when Jacob was grieving and his children came to comfort him, and the Bible says that he refused to be comforted. He's like, just leave me alone right now. I want to be sad. He refused it. I think we get that way sometimes. And I don't know what it was with him, but that's with Elijah here. But we're here in 1 Kings chapter 19. And beginning in verse number 1, and Ahab told Jezebel, of course, Jezebel, wicked queen, all that Elijah had done. He had just slain the prophets of Baal, the false prophets. And with all how he had slain the prophets with the sword, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Now you can say, he should have been brave. And he should have been brave. But if I knew a bunch of people ready to kill me, I may have been taken off too. And it says, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Why? He wanted to be alone. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. His life was threatened. Now, that was not a small problem. He did have a big problem. And he withdrew into the wilderness. And boy, I'll tell you what, when we start feeling sorry for ourselves, life will seem like that barren wilderness. Oh, it's a horrible time. He sat down. He wanted to quit. He even asked God if he could die. He wanted to die. And he was just having a pity party. We need to make sure when things aren't going great, we don't just focus on our problems, sit down and fester on it and think about it and just think the worst and want it all to be over. That doesn't fix anything. Now let's go back to Mark here. Get back to Mark. Now, what if Jairus had blamed God and was asking why and going into depression? Would that have helped his daughter? No, his daughter was dying. It was no time for a pity party. She would have died. And things only get worse when we have a pity party instead of seeking God. And you got to remember that. They're not going to get better. They're just going to tank. And in times of trouble, we need the Lord. And if you're having a pity party this morning about something, whatever it is, it's time to snap out of it. You know what? Because in most cases, you're the only person that wants to be in that pity party. You know, if you ever have a pity party? You have. And you want everyone to come and join it. Well, most people really don't want to be around that. And they might stop in and see that you're having the party and say, I don't like this party. I'm out of here. Not a good time. So what we need to do is we need to snap out of it. We need to do what Jairus did with his problem. I say, what was that? He prayed sincerely. And I want you to notice four things about his prayer here we see in this passage. And begin there in verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Look at this. The Bible says that he saw him. A few things. First thing is this. He found Jesus. That's the first thing you got to do. You got a problem? You got to find God. You got to get to God. You got to find him. And it says he saw him. When's the last time you saw through your problems and actually saw God? You saw him work. You saw his direction. You saw his guidance. You saw his hand moving and him on your side. We need to find God. Secondly, we see that he humbled himself. When we come to the Lord, we need to humble ourselves. At the end of verse 22, it says that he fell at his feet. He just dropped down and fell at Jesus' feet. You know, there are times we just need to come to the end of ourselves. Lord, I can't fix this. I have nothing, Lord. This is impossible. I need you. When we get to that place where we can humble ourselves to God, then he can step in and help. Too busy, we're trying to run around and fix everything on ourselves. Or we're going to depend on someone else to fix it. We don't look to God. No, we've got to humble ourselves. And it may be that we need to confess our sin. Humble ourselves and confess that sin. And bow ourselves and submit ourselves to the Lord. Humble himself. The next thing he did was he poured out his heart to God. Look in verse number 23. It says, and besought him greatly. He was begging God greatly. I mean, earnestness in his prayer. Man, if you've ever, you know, we're in a life and death situation and you are just pouring your heart out to God, that gets God's attention. He likes it when we give him our cares, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He wants to help us. He wants to lift the load. So he found Jesus. He humbled himself. He poured his heart out. And then we also see that in his prayer, he had faith. He had faith. It says that he said, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she might live. It's not what it says. She shall live. He knew that Jesus had the power to do something. He was convinced in his prayers that the Lord would not only hear, but would do something. Lord, please come and lay your hand on her. You know, when we come to God in prayer, sometimes we pray, but we don't believe. And we need to pray and realize God can work everything out. And when you pray, don't be filled with doubt. Jesus had said, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. And ye shall have them. That's Mark 11, 24. He also said to his disciples in Matthew 21, 21, he said, have faith and doubt not. Have faith and doubt not. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand the trial. I don't understand. I don't necessarily like it, but you've got a plan for it. And I know that you're capable. You're powerful. You can do something in this. Please intervene. Please step in. Help me to see what you're doing. Work your will. We need to be able to come to him and have this great prayer. But look there in verse 24. Notice something else, that his prayer moved Jesus to action. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him. See that? It got his attention. And it caused Almighty God to move. God's bigger than me. He's bigger than you. He doesn't have to do anything for us. And yet, little old puny me, with all my faults, can come and ask the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, to step in and do something, and he begins to move. In a way, I'm supposed to move when he tells me. But he begins to move when we talk to him. Wow. That ought to humble us. Great prayer this man had. Hey, prayer changes things. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. And if you get desperate enough and pour your heart out to God in prayer, you will see something happen. Now, it's not always what you think is going to happen. It's always going to be the way you think it should happen. But you will see something happen. I've been many times where I've been praying, Lord, work in this and work in this, and then all of a sudden, ooh, I see a bigger problem come. I was like, what on earth? And then I see God was working even through that. We'll get to that here. We'll see this in the scriptures here. The next thing that we see, though, that we need to have is not just that we need great prayer, but we need great patience. Verses 24 through 27. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. We'll see that word in just a moment. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And of course, in verse 29, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And immediately Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? In verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? They're saying, everybody's touching you. Everybody's pushing on you. Everybody's pressing on you. And you're saying, who touched me? He knew that there was a touch of faith, and his strength and virtue went out. He knew that something special happened. You say, what does this woman with the issue of blood getting healed have to do with Jairus and great patience? Oh, just this. Think about this. Despite the problem, okay, so Jairus, he's got this huge problem. His daughter's about to die. He's praying. Jesus is going with him. So he's saying, good, at least I got some hope. Jesus is with me now. But then it didn't take long for a roadblock, literally a roadblock to come. He was not the only person who needed help in the city. Here comes this woman. And as Jesus went to Jairus' house, the Bible says, much people followed him and thronged him. The word throng means to compress. All right, so in other words, the crowd began to press on Jesus. It was so thick that they were just coming in, and no one was moving. It was bottleneck. You talk about a traffic jam, a human traffic jam. And it looked like there was no end in sight. Now, let me tell you this. When you're desperate, do you want anything to slow you down? Here, the daughter is dying. And when a life is hanging in the balance, you can ask any EMT, paramedic, whatever, every minute counts. Sometimes seconds count. Now, how come Jesus was not rushing? He's stopping to talk to this lady. He's healing this lady. He's fixing all her problems. And, you know, if I was Jairus, I'd be thinking, now, where's the sirens and the flashing lights? Let's get moving here. Can't you just push everybody away? We got emergency going on. But that's not what God was doing here. And so Jesus stopped. He talked to the woman, and he healed her. And were they ever going to get to Jairus' house? I don't know about you, but I think I would have been uptight. His daughter was dying, and the only one who could heal him, hurt her, had been detained. What a horrible delay, right? No, it wasn't horrible at all. God knew what he was doing. Another lady happened to get healed in the process, and in the end, Jairus' daughter was taken care of too. And oh, how we need to exercise patience when Jesus doesn't relieve our situation when we think he should. You ever get in that time where, Lord, I need an answer right now, and it doesn't come right now? You know, Lord, I needed that answer yesterday, and it's now today. You say, Lord, I got this problem. It's not going away. I've been praying, and I thought you were with me. I thought you gave me assurance that this was going to work out, and now things are getting worse. Despite the good that was going to come in the end, there was still something else that was going to follow. And that's, fifthly, we see great pain. Great pain. I mean, yeah, great pain. Look at here. As Jesus was finished giving the good news to the woman about her being healed, bad news came to Jairus. Verses 34 and 35. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Great news. But then in verse 35, while he yet spake, while he was speaking good news, bad news came. There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Can you imagine how his heart must have sunk? His worst fears came. His daughter had passed away. At the same time, I can imagine thoughts must have been running through his mind like, God, why'd you fail me? Why'd you give me hope? Was my prayer not good enough? You said you were coming. I thought everything was going to turn out okay. And great faith had been displayed earlier, but now it was being tested. Doesn't mean he didn't have faith before. It means his faith is being tested. And I can see in this passage, and I've seen through experience many times, that sometimes things get worse before they get better. But that doesn't mean God has failed. It doesn't mean God's forgotten us. That doesn't mean God has changed his mind or changed his plan. And sometimes we think that our prayers have been in vain. Maybe you've been praying about something for a long time, and it's just not working out. It's just, you thought you had peace from God. You thought it was all going to work. It's just not happening. And you're starting to think, Lord, I pray. Does this prayer thing work? I've been there before. I've thought, Lord, yeah, I know prayer works for him, and I know where prayer works for her, but I know you're a God of prayer, answer prayer, but I don't know if it's going to work for me. I've been there. It's a hard time when God's testing our faith, but we need to hang in there. Jesus knew what he was going to do for Jairus' daughter, and he knows what he's planning to do in your life. We've got to hold on by faith and trust him, even when all hope is taken away. And times will come when it seems like you just can't go on, but you got to go on. Now, as the story finished well, as we'll see here in a moment, God has a good ending for your story too. But you got to remember that. You got to believe that. It's not just power of positive thinking. It's faith. And when your faith is being tested, you've got to hang in there. And part of having faith is just trusting God when things are looking crummy. It may be hard to see right now, but we need to trust him that all is going to work out well. Jesus knew what was happening in Jairus' heart. He knew the fear that was coming in. He knew how he was losing hope. And he had a compassion for him. And so we see the next thing on our list, that he had great pity. Jesus had great pity. In verse number 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, the bad news, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. You know what that shows me? During our times of fear and heartache and trouble and doubts and all that, Jesus is sympathetic to our grief. He's right there with a word of reassurance. He's right there to give us what we need to get us through. It said, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. I mean, immediately he had a word of encouragement for him. And you know, he's got a word of encouragement for us too. And where do we find those words of comfort? Right here. They're waiting right there. And so often, this is the last place we go. We want to feel sorry for ourselves. We want to vent a little bit. We want to be angry. We want to get discouraged. You might want to throw something. Whatever it is, right there. It's waiting. The comfort, the peace, it's waiting. It's right there. The word of encouragement. Now, Jesus isn't going to walk up and say, hey, you know, be of good comfort to you. But he's going to say it through his Bible right here. All you got to do is pick it up. All I got to do is remember to pick it up and have that desire to pick it up. His words of comfort come from the Scripture. And when disappointment comes, we need to run to him and not let our heart get filled with fear and doubt, but get filled with his word. And you'll find that God's word does bring hope. You know it. You've tried it before, many of us. have done that. In Romans 15:4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." That's a scripture. Then he says, "That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." Comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we're down. Everything's going wrong. We pick up the word. We spend some time in the Bible. We're reading. We're cleansing our mind. We're renewing our mind. We're getting cleaned up from our doubts and fears. And God's word begins to comfort us. God's word begins to give us hope. We had no hope. We couldn't go on. And yet God then begins to just fill us with a supernatural hope. Where did we get that? We just boosted ourselves up a little bit? No. We went to God just like Jairus did. And God saw our problem. And God saw that we were trying. And God saw that we needed him and we wanted him. And he stepped in and he said, "Hey, I see there's a big problem. I see that, here, you had this problem. It's getting worse." She died. I'd say that got worse. He said, "But I got a prescription." So that's the next thing we see, is a great prescription. He had some advice to the man. Two things were going to help. First thing he said there in verse 36 was, "Be not afraid." A heart filled with fear, there's no room for faith, is there? If you've got fear, you're not going to have faith. Fear always displaces faith. So we got to cast aside the fear. So be not afraid. That's kind of a command. But I am. Maybe I want to be afraid. And Gus says, "Don't." So we have to follow that advice. Then he said, "Only believe." Doesn't that sound so simple? Only believe. It is simple. Not easy, but it's simple. Only believe. Jairus had faith to begin with. Now he had to maintain that despite what appeared to be an absolute devastating loss. And faith believes God despite the circumstances. That's kind of what I've seen over the years. You know, that's my definition of faith. Faith is believing God despite the circumstances. The circumstances say all of this. God says this. And am I going to either look at all these circumstances or am I going to look at what God says? I got to believe God. Only believe. Pretty simple requirement. Only believe. But too often, we allow our situation to dictate how we feel, don't we? Yeah. When we remember that God loves us and he's in control, our faith can remain firm. Faith is a decision. Only believe, right? He says, "Be not afraid." So we have to determine, even when it's difficult, I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to trust God. I don't see how it's going to work out, but I'm going to hang in there, and I'm going to remember that God never fails. Ed Nelson was a pastor out in Colorado. He wrote this: "All our comfort flows from faith, and all our misery from unbelief." All of our comfort flows from faith. We just need to trust God and follow his prescription. Oh, but then, not everybody had peace. Not everybody had comfort. Not everybody had his words of reassurance. The next thing we see is great panic. Not everybody was happy. Not everybody was calm. Look with me down there in verse number 39 and 40. So, "And when he was come in," so he got to Jairus' house, "he saith unto them," there's a bunch of people there. Let's go back to verse 38. "And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly." And there was weeping and wailing. People were out of control. And then it says, and "when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Verse 40, "And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying." So he got there, people weeping, wailing, just making a racket. And he said, "Why do you make this ado and weep?" Now, the word ado means noise and commotion. They're out of control. I've been to funerals and in homes where people are weeping and wailing and just total distress. Now, these people hadn't been with Jesus. They didn't even believe what he said. They had no hope. And when you don't have Christ in your life, you don't have hope. You don't know how to handle problems. You can't exercise faith that God's going to work it all out because you don't even have God in your life. And what you need most is the Lord as your Savior. And those without Christ and his reassuring word will stumble through problem after problem. And notice that they went from weeping to laughing in just a moment's time. How does that happen? Was it true sorrow? Was it true laughter? I don't know. I can figure out one thing. They were emotionally unstable. And that's all you can expect if you don't cling to the promises of God, is emotional instability. Up and down, and you don't know if you should laugh or cry. You can't control anything. You can't control your emotions. You just, there's just problems. And what a horrible wreck. Thankfully, Jesus honored the faith of the little girl's father. And we notice great power. We see great power here in verses 40 through 42. Although they laughed and scorned, he took him in. And then look at verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were amazed. They were astonished. That's what it means, amazed. And with a great astonishment, Jesus performed a bigger miracle than just healing the little girl. He had raised her from the dead. And here we see why the Lord allowed the problem to get worse. It was so that he could perform a bigger miracle. Now, I don't want my problems to get worse. I want them to be gone. But God might want to do something bigger than I had expected, so that he could get more honor and glory out of it. And in the end, is it supposed to be all about me or all about him? Now, most of the time I live like it's all about me, but every once in a while I step into this area of faith. But that's what we're supposed to be doing, is saying, Lord, it's all about you. And it's not all about me. And if you want to use my problems to get more honor and glory for yourself, then that's what we need to let happen. That's what we need to let happen. Now, that's easy to say when everything's going well, but when you're facing big, big problems and it's not easy, that's tough. God wants to work. He can work. And when our situation seems more hopeless, it gives God a bigger opportunity to work. Jesus took her by the hand, spoke, she arose, and one simple touch from him made everything right. He spoke the word, and everything was changed. And God has the power to change our problems in an instant. Think with me about Peter. He was in jail. The next day, he's going to be killed. God sent an angel to touch him. And then a few minutes later, he's out of jail. He's free. He's got the death sentence. He's going to die. He's in jail. And then next thing you know, he's free. He shows up at a prayer meeting. And of course, he lives. He gets to go and preach and see many things happen. God used him tremendously. Big problem? Yes. Did it change quickly? In a moment. Another illustration from the book of Acts was the Philippian jailer. He's got Paul and Silas on lockdown. God sets them free. He knows because of the Roman law that if they get free and all the prisoners get free, that he's going to be put to death. So he says, forget that. I'm not going to let them kill me. I'm just going to kill myself. He grabs a sword. He's about ready to kill himself. And Paul and Silas say, hey, wait a minute. What's going on? Don't. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And he did. And he got saved. He received Christ. He trusted Jesus to forgive him of sins. He trusted Jesus for deliverance. And God stepped in and changed the man's life. And next thing you see, with the Philippian jailer, that he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house in Acts 16:34. So he went from being suicidal to bursting with joy in a short amount of time. Why? Because when God steps in, he can change things. Real quickly. We may be down. It might be dark. But, you know, in a dark room, all you got to do is flip the light switch on. And then, boom, there's light. Our darkness, we might not see any end to it. When God's ready, all he's got to do is flip the switch. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give up. God has the power to work in your life too. No matter how dark this trial is, Jesus is still the light of the world. We need to trust him. And lastly, we see great praise. We find this in verse 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. The people were amazed at what Jesus had done. He did something. There's a huge problem. The problem got worse. Steps in, it's all settled. God knows what he's doing. He's got a plan for all of our problems. You know, he didn't cause the problem with the girl, but he's certainly there to help. Now, the Lord does not always give us back what we lost. In this case, he did. In the case of Job, he lost his children. He lost all his wealth. He didn't get his children back. But God did give him his wealth back, and he gave him more children. And God blessed him in amazing ways. And James 5:11 says, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." God has a plan. God will work. And you'll find that in the end of the Lord, that he'll be good to you if you trust him. Troubles may come, but with God's help, they will go. They may not go away right away, and we might not get the answer to our prayer that we thought we should get. It might come later than we thought, but God is with us. God's got words of reassurance to get us through that trial while we're waiting for his deliverance. And his deliverance may be different for each of us in the end, but in the end, we have seen that the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Are you carrying a heavy burden this morning? You may have a problem. You may have many problems. You might be that problem magnet. Well, God has a plan to help you with it. All we need to do is trust him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.